My honored guests, see me? I don't know what Queen Vashti is thinking. I've invited her to come to show her beauty to all of you so that you could enjoy seeing the splendor of her glory. I don't know what's overtaken her. I don't know what's gotten into her mind that she hasn't come to bless us. I don't know what to do. But I suppose if she does not want to accept my invitation, if she does not want to be the queen of the greatest empire in the world any longer, if she simply wants to be out of my presence, then I have no choice but to give her what she wants. And so I have declared a royal decree that she is never to come into my presence again, and I will appoint a successor to the throne, and I will call a new queen. Now, 400 some years after King Xerxes dethroned Queen Vashti, Jesus told this story. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Now, rather than calling King Xerxes fickle, as we often do when we read the pages of Esther, Xerxes was actually reflecting the character of God. Both Xerxes and the banquet host in Jesus' parable, both, notice this, practice radical hospitality, putting out a grand spread for everybody to come and enjoy. Both invite many guests. Both feel righteous anger when the guest or the guests of honor refuse the invitation. Both grant people what they want, excommunication. And both, in turn, invite unworthy people to the positions of privilege around the banqueting table. Xerxes elevates a Jewish orphan named Esther to be his new queen. And in time, this new queen finds herself in the middle of a plot. And she's urged to go to the king, to speak to him, to intervene in this plot. But she protests when she's urged to do this. And she says these words, "For any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception is this, for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." The situation was dire. She knew that she had little choice but to go to the king to try to intervene in this plot, but yet she was scared at what would happen. She hadn't talked to the king in over a month, but finally she's persuaded and she goes. And the book of Esther records she put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you." Again, about 400 years later, Jesus tells another story. This one about a young man who's estranged from his father, but whose circumstances become so dire he has little choice. And so he works up the courage to go back home. And Jesus said, "While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate.'" Now, some children in about a month's time or a couple months' time, they're going to start making up a wish list. And some of them are going to mail that off to the North Pole, to Santa Claus. But my boys don't do that. They just make up their list, and actually they don't wait till the autumn. They start doing it in January, and then Easter time, and summer. And so one of the lists that I got a couple years ago from one of my boys read like this. It says here, Xbox, Xbox One, and games, plural. PS4, and games. Bike ramp, Lego sets, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. Nerf guns, fish tank, dog. Wii, TV, Wii and games, in case I missed it the first time around. Games for the computer. Horse. Car. Remote controlled car. Cluedo. Now, they don't give me these lists with no hope involved. And they don't give these lists to perfect strangers that they've never met before, at least as far as I'm aware. But they give these lists to me because they know that I'm the one that loves them. They know that I'm the one supposedly with endless resources. And they know that I enjoy giving them good gifts. They ask me for these things because they think I can actually give them these things. The estranged son that Jesus was talking about, he goes back to his daddy because he's gotten to the point in life where he realizes that's the only person he can go back to. Esther goes to the king because she's gotten to the point where she knows nobody else can help her. We don't ask people for things that we don't think they can give us. And the same is true with God. We don't ask him for things that we don't think he can give us. And notice, both King Xerxes and the father of the estranged son, both of them were waiting. It says King Xerxes was sitting on his throne, waiting, as if he was anticipating, as if he knew there was this plot out there, as if he knew that his queen could do something about this. He was not surprised by her coming to him. He was waiting, ready. And the father of the estranged son was looking out in the distance. Maybe every day since his son left home, he was straining his eyes, waiting for the day his son was going to come back. And both of them were overjoyed when Queen Esther came in, the king was happy. When the son came home, the father was happy. And both blessed them far beyond what they ever could have imagined. The king puts his scepter out and says, "Half the kingdom, it's yours for the asking." And the father says, "Put my best robe on the boy. Put my best ring on the boy. Put my best sandals on the boy. Let's kill the best calf we've got." In order for us to pray more effectively, in order for us to pray more like Jesus, as our parish phrase goes, we need to know more and more who it is we're praying to. We can't pray rightly if we don't know who we're praying to. Who we believe God to be deep down inside, that's the one that we're going to approach. Now, sometimes we might give God big requests, but deep down inside somewhere, we don't really expect him to do anything about it. We just know that that's the thing that Christians do. They go to God and they make their wish list, but they don't really expect him to fulfill any of that or to answer any of those wishes. But my boys, when they give me this wish list, they're really expecting at least one of those things to show up under the tree. And if none of that happens, well, then they're sadly disappointed. Now, they might got something a little different than what's there that they didn't ask for, but nonetheless, they're going to get something. God does not mind us coming to him and asking for half the kingdom. He always has your best interests in mind. He's waiting for your wish list. And not just a wish list of things that you feel like you're supposed to ask him for, but the things that you really know that you want from him. The things that you really expect him to be able to fulfill in your life. Our God is a king far greater and more powerful than Xerxes. And our God is sitting on his throne. And he is waiting. He is waiting for you to come to him as though he is your only hope in this life. And he is waiting for you to pour out your heart to him. He is waiting to extend his golden scepter to you and to tell you that half his kingdom is yours for the asking if you really want it. So we're supposed to be talking about praying today. So we're going to do that right now. I want you to close your eyes. And just in your heart right now, identify what your wish list is for God. And pick out the one thing that you want to put at the top of that list. The thing you most desire, the thing you most need. The thing that nobody else can provide but God. And now go to him in your heart. Know that he's waiting. He's ready for this. He's extending his golden scepter to you. He's putting his robe on you. He's happy to see you. and he says, half the kingdom. What is it that you want? Let him know right now. And now, Father, I ask that you give each and every person who has come before your throne right now, give them an affirmation in their spirit that you have not only received their prayer, but that you are going to answer that prayer. Let's just pause a moment now. If you haven't received that affirmation in your spirit yet, just pause. Open up your heart. Open up your ears. Open up your hands. And ask the Father to give you that affirmation that he has heard you and that he is going to answer your prayer.